Amen, and good morning again. That was a moment, huh? You know, we have so many people here that sacrificially serve. I'm just really thankful when it comes to our worship team, our children's ministry, those in the booth, our hospitality team, people serving by, you know, leading small groups and all kinds of different things. So can we just show our appreciation for a second? That's awesome. And, you know, specifically, you know, we are looking to grow our worship team. So if you're ever interested in that, if you play something, talk to me and we'll work on getting you connected and on that process. So that would be definitely a blessing to us as a church. Now, before I dive into the message today, I just wanted to speak for a quick second to married couples, just for a second, because we have a fun opportunity coming up this Friday at the Trading Post. To just really have a fun time together. We're gonna be doing bingo, okay? Not for money, okay? But we're gonna just be playing fun bingo, maybe for some small prizes and those kind of things, and then just a brief encouragement from the scriptures regarding relationships. So with that said, I hope to see you there. 7 o'clock at the Trading Post this Friday. Trading Post on Franklin Street, if you don't know where that is. And I also wanted to mention, if you want to, like, bring your own dinner and show up around 6:15, 6:30 probably, and just share a meal with some other couples, you could do that, okay? So, again, but all the stuff, the festivities, the bingo, et cetera, that's going to start at 7. But with that, let's just, let's pray, okay? Let's pray as we begin into this message that the Lord has for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You know, all I was overcome with was, you know, the freedom that you have brought to us in our relationship to be had with you and to live for you. It is for freedom that you have set us free, and freedom to worship you, freedom to live as you lived, freedom to love as you've loved. So, Lord, I just pray that as we dig into the scriptures today and we kind of continue to talk about suffering a little bit with a little bit of a twist from what we have been, that, Lord, you would just guide us, that you would be with us, Lord, and that we would be with you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so over the recent past and even up to this day, I have been, and some of you have noticed this, thank you very much, but I've been trying to lose some weight, okay? Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's actually been working. I've lost like 15 to 20 pounds since late November, and real quick, yeah, you can keep, it's, thanks, praise be to God, it's okay. Real quick, I started this, I'm going to call it nonsense, okay, because it's not easy. I started this nonsense of eating less and intermittent fasting the week of Thanksgiving, meaning before Thanksgiving Day, okay. Now, I had my reasons for doing this, but looking back, that was kind of foolish, okay? And I just wouldn't recommend that. So if you're looking for application coming from church, don't start a diet on Thanksgiving week, okay? That's your first take home today. I wouldn't recommend that. But anyway, I've been on this journey for like a couple months now, and I'm just being real, okay? It's not fun. It's not fun. Now, do I feel good knowing that I'm sticking with it and that I'm seeing progress? Yeah, and, you know, my clothes are fitting a little bit better, but I got to tell you, this whole deal has still not been fun, okay? I suffer a little. Some days I suffer a little more than other days by not eating until a certain time and then not eating after a certain time with no late-night snacking. Tough, okay? I've always been a champ at that, at that late-night snacking. So my point is there's been some suffering, but I will say this, that the momentary suffering has been worth the outcome. It has been. And so when Friday, that's weigh-in day for me, when that rolls around, I'm generally excited. I'm kind of pleased with myself when I see that the momentary suffering throughout the week has been worth it. And so as I head into that next week, I willingly and I intentionally suffer through the hunger of that following week. My point is this, church. Truth be told, in life, the momentary suffering, The momentary suffering for something good and something positive and something of God and for God, it's always worth it. It's always worth the outcome. Mine is a silly example, but I'm talking about the things of God and a good life. The sacrificial suffering is worth it. And with that said, we're in the middle of a series on 1 Peter, and you've probably noticed that there's this reoccurring theme of suffering, okay? I mean, that is really the main reason that God inspired Peter to write it. The original audience reading it and having read to them, they were suffering Christians. And so with that today, we're going to continue in that theme, the theme of suffering, but we're going to continue with a little bit of a different approach. Well, what I mean is that up until this day, we've been really looking at suffering as to how do we navigate it when it's things like persecution or pain or injustice due to circumstances outside of our control. But I got to let you know today, church, that there is also the suffering that we are to sacrificially put ourselves through as Christians and for the greater good of others. So that we are what? So that we are following in the footsteps of our Savior who suffered. And so with that, what we're going to be looking at to do that today is most of chapters 3 and 4 of 1 Peter this morning. And you can turn there now in your Bible. It's pretty far back in your Bible, or the verses, they're going to be up on the screen. And just know that we don't have time to read all of it. So I say that to encourage you to keep working those reading plans that you got early on in the series, because we're just going to pull out like some highlights to shed some light when it comes to suffering that we sacrificially put ourselves through. So with that, let's begin in chapter 3, starting in verse 8. God's word says this: "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." Now, that's pretty straightforward, right? That's pretty easy to understand. But is it really? Is it really? And is it, I ask you, is it easy to do? I think not, okay? And you may be saying, you know, where's the suffering in these verses? Well, let me help you a second with that statement. Often the suffering that we experience in life, it comes as a result of doing the right thing. I want you to think about it a second. As we've talked about persecution over the last few weeks, I want you to think about a time, okay, where you were persecuted, where you were picked on, even if it wasn't for your faith, but a time that you were just picked on for doing something good, for doing something right, for doing something healthy, for doing something of God. And I mean, wouldn't it feel good, think about it with me, just being real, wouldn't it feel good to get that person back? Wouldn't it feel good to expose them to their dark lies, right? Wouldn't it feel good to even maybe even smack them a little bit, right? Across the face, I'm just being real. Or wouldn't it feel good to show them and to show others your dominance as you let them have it? And wouldn't it feel good to do that in front of others, a large group of people? Yeah, right? It would feel pretty good, but is it good? Is it right? My point, church, at the end of the day, it's far easier, even dare I say, much more enjoyable, at least in the short term, and in our selfish nature, to seek revenge. You can agree with me on that, right? You see, our sinful nature, it wants to be the best. Our sinful nature wants to perform the best. Our sinful nature wants us to be right, which allows things like arrogance and pride to rise up, to puff up, pushing out things like humility and compassion, which I got to tell you, they're really near and dear to God's heart. For the testimony of God's word, including here in the book of 1 Peter, I mean, you saw it in verse 8, Peter says to be sympathetic. He says to be sympathetic and to love one another, especially, it said, blow your mind moment, especially to those that we don't like. He says to repay evil with what? Did you see it? He said to repay it with a blessing, which isn't easy. It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, who does that? Who does that unprovoked? I believe that the Spirit of the living God has to be alive. I believe that the Spirit of the living God has to be well and alive in us to enable us and to empower us to do that in a most pure fashion. All this to say this, it's a sacrifice, church. It is a sacrifice to do the right thing. It is a sacrifice. Turning from evil is challenging, and it requires discipline. It requires intentionality. It requires sacrifice. It requires surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. So with that said, up to this point, we've seen this, okay? We've seen that being a follower of Jesus, it requires sacrificial suffering. It just does. And then Peter goes on to say this in verses 13 to 14. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. And then verses 17 to 18. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why, church? Why? To bring you and me to God. To bring us back to the Father. He was put to death in his body, but made alive in the Spirit. Now, with that, I just want to mention two things, okay, that I'm reminded of as I read those verses. First is that Peter, he isn't asking us to do anything that Jesus hasn't already done. Meaning that Jesus, your relational, your intimate, your personal Savior, he who calls you friend as his follower and disciple if you are one, well, you know what? Jesus, he understands suffering. He understands suffering. And if you aren't a believer yet, okay, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus understands suffering. And he wants you to know that he does. He wants you and I to know that he understands it and that he can minister to you during yours because he knows what it's like. Think about it. While on this earth, he didn't live any kind of luxury life, okay? He didn't live any kind of high status or even any kind of overall acceptance from those around him. But he was what? He was humble. He was humble and he was rejected and he was ultimately beaten and crucified for a purpose. For the purpose of offering you forgiveness and offering all forgiveness. So that's one observation, okay? Jesus understands suffering. Have you done anything with that? Have you accepted his offer? And the second observation is this. In comparison, no suffering, okay? In comparison, no suffering that we will experience will ever come close to the suffering that Jesus endured for us. Nothing will come close. I mean, even if, God forbid, even if we were to die for our faith, we are not dying, mind you, with all of humanity's sin on our shoulders. But Jesus did that. He felt that. He endured all of that for all of us. And when I say us, I mean all of humanity. So as we momentarily suffer for doing good, we are simply reflecting a portion of Christ's suffering. We're just reflecting a portion of that to the world around us. It's our witness, church. Now, with that, Peter then goes on in chapter 4 to tell us this. He goes on to tell us that sacrificially suffering, it reminds us that we are freed. It reminds us that we are freed from our past. Now, to that, you may say, wait a minute, how? You may say, I don't see that in here. Let me help us with that, okay? You see, ultimately, it is Jesus' suffering on the cross that frees us. It frees us from the bondage of sin. But our suffering reflects Christ's, making it a reminder to you and I of him and his. It reminds us of him and his, and how through him and his suffering, we are freed from our past. In other words, our sacrificial suffering, it just gives us proper perspective of what our Savior did for us. In fact, listen to how Peter says it. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living, and thus they heap abuse on you. You see, church, with a proper perspective, we realize that the temporary pleasures of sin have no lasting good. No lasting good. They are of no wholesome value. So the temporary sacrifice we make to abstain from all that Peter describes, and also anything that is sin, is worth the persecution. It is worth the suffering that we momentarily experience. It is worth the denial of self. And these things are to no longer hold us back as we live for God. And we know that any suffering that we experience here on earth as a result of the good choices we make, it is worth experiencing peace. You ever hunger for peace? Living in good, godly ways brings that. So the good choices that we make, it's worth experiencing peace. Peace here and now. It's worth experiencing an eternity of peace where there'll be no suffering present. But we can have tastes of that. We can have tastes of peace now by living good and living godly lives and sacrificially suffering by saying no to ourselves and no to the cultural pressures around us, but saying yes, yes to God and yes to his ways. And saying no to the persecution of others for doing good that may cause us maybe to shrink back, but instead saying yes to the praise and to the pleasure from God. Put the past in the past. Put the past in the past and let him shape your present and let him shape your future. And speaking of that, your future in Christ and mine as believers, know this, okay? Sacrificial suffering is temporary. It's temporary. We see that as we continue in our reading. Verses 7 to 8 of 1 Peter 4. He writes this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins." How we spend our days matters. How we spend our days on earth matters. And any suffering that we endure while doing the right thing will only last a little while in the scope of eternity. I mean, think about it. And the end is nearer. It is nearer every day, isn't it? Now back for a second to my intermittent fasting or my dieting example. For me, okay, some of the toughest times of the day, and I kind of alluded to this, but but they are the evenings. I mean, all day, I'm busy working, I'm busy going about life, but near the end of the day, you know, maybe after that last appointment or that last errand or that last kid's sporting event, when I finally hit the chair, a snack sounds really good, really good. But it's time, in that moment, it's time for something. It's time for the last few reps in that moment. That's what it's time for. And can I tell you this? Can I tell you that those last few reps, they may be the most painful, but they are also the most impactful. And that goes for any kind of suffering that we may be enduring for good. Any kind of suffering that we may be enduring for God. I mean, late at night, okay, think about it. Late at night, it would be far easier, it would be more enjoyable in the moment for me to just give in, to just give up to the pressure and the desire I feel to snack. But that would likely do what? It would likely throw away all that I've worked for all day long, right? And the same could be said of the last few pounds that I have to go to reach the goal that I've set. My point is this, church. The same principle applies to the greater things in life. The same principle applies for the greater things of God and for eternity. And you may come to a point, I may come to a point where it would be far easier in regard to our faith, in regard to this life, to just give up and to just give in to the pressures of the world around us. But I'm telling you what, church, Peter is reminding us. He is reminding you. God is reminding you and me today together that we are to endure. We are to endure to the end. We are to endure in our faith. We are to endure in our sacrificial suffering for God, in our sacrificial suffering for good. We must remain alert. We must be of sober mind per the scriptures, because those last few reps may be the most painful, but they are also the most impactful. And ultimately, we do this through sacrificially loving others. That's what the scripture says, through sacrificially loving others, even when it is the hardest thing that you can think you could even do in those times. And with that, from there in our passage, Peter goes on to explain how to live out our lives in love. Listen to verses 9 to 11. It says this: offer hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Church, overall, we are to live a life of love. We are to live an others-centered life. And we do that, church, even when we are in the final days, the last string of our patience, maybe. And we are to do that even as we sacrificially suffer. And it is, in fact, how and why we do it. It's the how and why that we do it. It's because in that's how we become like Christ. So when others want to fight, when others want to argue, when we want to give in to revenge, we respond with love. And while others may want to dive into the indulgences of sin, and as we are tempted to or pressured toward that, we lovingly sacrifice those temporary pleasures for the eternity and the eternal out of love for God. And we use our energy instead for other things. We use our energy per the scripture to love. We use our energy per the scripture to serve, so that God, again, so that he may be praised, so that he may be glorified through Jesus Christ, because love, and primarily his love for us, it has the power. We read it. It has the power to cover a multitude of sins. And our love for others as a reflection of His, that just helps us to do that here and now too, in this life. We're powerful things. Powerful things like forgiveness. Powerful things like reconciliation between one and another can happen. If we live the way in which God calls us to live, that gives those things the opportunity to happen. So some of heaven comes to here and now. Now with that said, as we get near a closing, let me ask you this real quick. Have you ever thought of suffering being something worth celebrating? Probably not, right? Probably not. But that is what Peter tells us as we continue just a smidge more. Sacrificially suffering is worthy of celebrating. Look at verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But what does it say? Praise God. What? If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear His name. Church, there is no doubt that there will be suffering in this life. No doubt. And specifically as a Christian, and these sufferings will be things that we have no control over times, right? They will be things that are simply a byproduct of the sin in this world. But as Christians, I'm just telling you, Peter's telling us, God is telling us to live a life that is set apart. Not separated, but set apart, different in a good way from the rest of the world. As we make choices, you see, to love, as we make choices to serve, as we make choices to be hospitable, even in the face of suffering for it and sacrificing for it. And as we, as Christians, are called to make choices contrary to our sinful nature and contrary to the world around us, which will likely lead to us having to endure suffering, both from without, as the world's like, what is up with you, right? We'll get that. We'll feel that. Why are you so loving? What are you up to? Right? We're going to feel that from without, and we're going to feel it from within. Again, as we say no to ourselves and yes to Him. But we remember something. We remember that this suffering is but a fraction. It is but a fraction of the suffering that, again, Jesus Christ endured for all of humanity on that cross and on the way to that cross. And so as you and I, as we endure, I challenge us, okay? I challenge us to celebrate. Celebrate our temporary sufferings, because that endurance is to the glory of God, and it is to be counted worthy for Him and by Him. As we look forward to the day when there will be no more crying, there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering for all of eternity. And real quick, just so we know, just like how Jesus understands suffering and persecution, so did our author here, Peter. He is writing from personal experience. He's not writing from theory, okay? Listen to Acts 5, 41 to 42 that documents the early church. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, which is the court, basically. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Do you see that word? They left rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, Peter is a part of this group described here, who were just persecuted. They were just imprisoned for speaking the name of Jesus. Yet through their sufferings, through their imprisonment, through their sacrifice and all of that, they rejoiced. And not only did they rejoice, but they continued, didn't they? They continued to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all. Now, you or me, okay, most likely, you and me, we most likely will not be imprisoned or beaten for our faith. For we live in a nation where, although not always appreciated, Christianity is kind of expected, it's kind of accepted. But what you will experience, and probably already have, is the temptation, okay? The temptation, maybe the temptation to do things to retaliate, over the smallest thing that someone does to you or says about you. Or maybe it's going to be the temptation to give up or to give in on love, to give up or give in on faith, or to give up or give in when it comes to the things of sin, those momentary pleasures, you know what I'm talking about, that are anything but love towards God, that are anything but love towards other, that the enemy, he loves to just dangle in front of us. So please, church, please, in those moments, remember, okay, remember that following Jesus will require sacrifices. A sacrifice, however, that is temporary, that pales in comparison to that which he suffered for you and I and sacrificed for you and I. And let us all remind ourselves of the freedom that we have in Christ. And because of that suffering through sacrifice, his and your own, are worthy of rejoicing over. That stuff is worthy of rejoicing. And let us all remember, as Peter states in verse 7, to be alert. To be alert, to be of sober mind, so that we may pray, because we will need his strength. We will need his guidance in all of this. In other words, through it all, we may keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And through it all, may we rest assured that all is well. It is well. Now, as our worship team comes forward, let me just tell you about two things quickly that you can do to further connect with this Jesus that I speak of. And one is this, it's The Chosen. I don't know if you've heard of this mini-series that documents the life of Jesus and his disciples, and we've been showing those seasons here. We're starting tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., with season 3. So we're going to show an episode a night for like the next 8 Mondays. We're going to start at 6:30. There's going to be some teaching. There's going to be an opportunity for questions. It's a great environment, so come check that out tomorrow. And then, two, I want to let you know about Revive Wesleyan's Ash Wednesday service. Now, Ash Wednesday, that's a date that marks the beginning of Lent, which is a season that leads up to Easter that is really meant to prepare us all for the celebration of Easter Day. So with that said, we are all invited to the Bayview Chapel campus in Hamburg, and Lent Ash Wednesday starts on February 14th, 7 p.m., so you're invited to that. And with that, I just want to invite you to stand, okay, as we proclaim through song that it is, in fact, well.